Today on Real Radio.
Pride has a tendency to cause your chest to stick out. You ever seen somebody trying to run a race with their chest sticking out? It's hilarious because they'll lose every time. They can't get into it because they're so into themselves. They can't make it down the street. Humility is a characteristic from God, and Jesus taught us how.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in his series through Luke's New Testament narrative, chapter 22. The section we're examining records a dispute among the closest followers of Jesus about who would be greatest in his kingdom. The Messiah's answer was not quite what they expected. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs in a presentation called Pride on Parade.
Difficulties will either cause, listen, those who are truly not God's people to run away from him because they're fair-weather followers of God. I will lift my hands as long as you're good to me. I will sing to you as long as you bless me. I will be a Christian as long as you are good to me, God, and taking care of me, God. But the moment I lose my house, the moment I lose my car, the moment my world caves in, that's it. I'm done with you. I'll go find some other God. And church, that's what's going on in America. If you want to hear it or not, it's happening now. People are saying, I've had enough. You know what? I've been a Christian for 25 years, and I lost my house, and I'm going to hold God responsible for this. Did you know that if that's your heart, you very well possibly were not a Christian ever at all. Trials, difficulties. Jesus in a moment will say, you've been with me through my hardships. That's a word of encouragement. I thank God for each and every one of you who are here today right now. Why? Because instead of choosing in light of this current financial crisis, you've not only come here rather than going down to Joe's Bar and Grill to try to drown away your troubles. You've come here to worship the Lord in face of them. But days are going to get harder. They're going to get worse. And you're preparing for the future by being right here, right now. You're preparing for what's coming. You're in the right place. You've done the right thing. And so Satan tore into Job. And you read the book of Job. You want to get encouragement? You think your life's bad? Read the book of Job. You'll feel fantastic when you get to the end of that book. Pride. Pride can't serve. It will not do it. Pride justifies its position, always making excuses rather than just serving the Lord. You know what? I am so blessed. You guys, this church is amazing because you know what? You see my fat face talking to you a couple times a week, okay? You know what? This is the role that I play here, but you know what? I do next to nothing compared to those who make this place happen. When you came in this morning, the chairs were straight. The place is clean. The windows are clean. The hallways, the courtyard, the plants, the watering that takes, all of that is done by volunteers. Did you know that? You go out in that courtyard, all that stuff's done by, it's amazing. Parking lot, getting 1,000 cars in and out of a parking lot per service. Volunteers. And then if that wasn't enough, reaching missionaries around the world, broadcasting messages into Russia, into North Africa, along the maritime radio network to sailors at sea. You're doing that. I don't do that. You make it happen. Because you're servants. And there's no telling that if all of us got on the same page, can you imagine if the church rose up and said, we will serve. Can you imagine if there was one gigantic Twitter from God and he said, in the next 5 minutes, do something awesome to somebody around you. Can you imagine? We had to do that somehow. This is God. I don't think God talks like that, but you know, those TV shows make us, oh, this is God. Oh. Can you imagine if we got a Twitter from God and he said, the closest person next to you, the next 10 feet, in the next 5 minutes, encourage them. Yeah, but I don't know if they're a Christian or not. Who cares? Treat them like a Christian. They might become one. Well, that guy's not the right color. He's white. He's black. He's some other color in between. Can I do that? Do it! Just do it. Be radical. Watch what happens. I set you up because God's twittering constantly. The Holy Spirit says, hey, isn't he always saying that? That's how he said, that's the way he talks to me. It's like Holy Spirit, chapter 1, verse 1. Hey, that's my name. And then he says amazing things. But you know what gets in the way? I can't talk to that person. God, come on, pick somebody else. We're just like Moses. God, I can't talk. Pick somebody else. Why do we back away? Pride. I don't want somebody to think I'm a fool. They already do. Number two, pride creates its own kingdom. Did you know that? Pride goes around strutting around, doing its own little thing. Promoting its own kingdom, verses 27 to 30. Pride can't keep up, though, with humility. They're in a race. It's hilarious. Here's pride. Watch this. Jesus is going to say, who's greater, he who sits at the table or he who serves? Is it not he who sits at the table? That's the status. The guy sits at the table. He's the big wheel. But look at, Jesus says, look at me. I'm not sitting at the table. I'm the one serving. And the word serve in the Greek, jot it down, circle it. Verse 27, the word serve, it's the word that we use for when we go out to breakfast this morning, if you do, or out to dinner. It's for a person that is waiting on you, a waiter, a servant. And the word in Greek means to cap off or to fill up your cup. Have you ever been, you guys, we went recently, it's very expensive. It was a special occasion. I don't remember what it was. I better remember. It was my anniversary, I think. Yes, I was just joking. We went to this place in Brea called the Melting Pot. Let me tell you something. You gain 10 pounds in one visit at this place. The food's amazing. But the waiters, they just wait on you hand and foot. And you take a little sip from your coffee and fill it up. It's like, wow, okay. And then it's like a game. Drink your coffee. Because they're like this. They're just serving. Okay. You want some more of that? You want some more coffee? You want a napkin? It's like, get away from us, will you? It's driving us crazy. Listen, Jesus is saying, that's the word he used. I'm one who's among you, making sure that your cup's filled up. That's the heart of God. And we walk around, I don't know if I want to do anything. Are we Christians? Are we on our way to heaven? Aren't we happy about that? And we want to be more like him. The amazing thing is, there's a joy to service. And they're in a race. Pride and humility is in a race. You know what's funny? Pride has a tendency to cause your chest to stick out. You ever seen somebody trying to run a race with their chest sticking out? It's hilarious because they'll lose every time. They can't get into it because they're so into themselves. They can't make it down the street. Humility is a characteristic from God, and Jesus taught us how. It's an amazing thing to keep in mind. The Bible warns us we need to be encouraging humility and slaying the pride that's in our lives. And you guys, the pride that's in our lives, verses 28 to 30, is exposed. Pride cannot endure difficulties. Can you write that one down? Pride cannot endure difficulties or affliction. It can't handle it. And you say, what do you mean by that? Look at verse 28. Jesus says, you guys have continued with me in my trials. That's a beautiful, sweet word that he gives them. You guys, come on. You know what this is all about. And I bestow upon you a kingdom, just as my Father bestowed upon me, that you may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom and sit on thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. Verse 30, very quick background. It's not all that important, but it adds color to what is really going on here. Jesus, remember, is in the upper room setting. It's the Passover meal. Jesus, imagine a table, you guys, shaped like a big U, okay? And Jesus is in the middle. And whoever is the most honored sits on the right hand first, closest to Jesus, and then the next honored person is on the left. Then the next second to the right, second to the left, third to the right, third to the left. Are you with me? All the way around the table until the two losers are on the other end. No, you should be happy that you were invited. I'm sure it's great. if you would have been listening to Jesus, none of that would have mattered. But in human thinking, it's like, man, where am I in that picture? You can look at the whole, let's take a team picture. Everybody looks great. And you'll say, you look at yourself, and you know when you get a picture of the group shot. Oh, there I am. You're the first one you look for. Why? Pride. Well, who cut the pie? Who cut the pie? Well, why? What does it matter? Well, he got a bigger piece of pie than I did. Why do you care? Because I'm very proud. Think about it. I want the bigger piece. I want this for me. It's absolutely amazing. So you find yourself in the picture, and if your eyes have closed, or if you're not smiling, or there's a booger or something, you know, on your nose, and it's like, take it over, take it over, take the picture over. And everybody likes their picture, but you don't like your picture. It's arrogance, it's pride, it's who we are. We battle with this every day. Well, how do I look? We're funny people because somebody will say, Pastor, your message is not getting through to me. It's not getting through to me because I hate myself. You do not hate yourself. Oh, yes, you have no idea how much I hate me. Why do you hate you? Because I'm just so ugly. You hate yourself because you're ugly, so you should be very happy that if you hate yourself, you're ugly, so you hate yourself. Is that right? That's right. Well, then you should be happy because you hate yourself that you're ugly. Think about it. I'm so ugly, I hate myself. So thus I'm happy. It doesn't work. We are by nature self-centered. It happens when we first come out of our moms. We're held up to the world like we're some sort of an icon, idol. Look, I've got pictures of my daughter still plugged into my wife with a cord. You know the cord? The umbilical cord? I got a clock. Rebecca was born at 12 minutes after 4 in the afternoon. How do I know? Because she's like this with the cord. It's a great shot just going down there. Just like Neil Armstrong or somebody in space. It's incredible. It's amazing. We come out like that. Look at me. I'm higher than all the rest of you guys. And the little baby grows up thinking, man, this is my world. It's funny. It's great. Sort of. But pride can't handle difficulties in life because pride says things like this. How could this happen to me? See, what happens to everybody? Not me. Why are you saying that? Because of the pride that you and I need to deal with in our lives. The Bible says in the book of Ephesians, chapter 4, verse 21, if indeed you have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning your former conduct, the old man, which grows corrupt according to its deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, that you may put on the new man, which was created according to God in righteousness and in holiness. Awesome and amazing. Third point this morning is this, verses 31 to 34. You would think, wait, should we stop here and not get into the third point because it shifts? It's different? No, not at all. Verse 31 to 34, pride seeks to preserve its own interest. Pride will seek to preserve its own interest because pride, listen, to deal with this, pride must be identified within us. We've got to look at it. We've got to deal with it because God hates it. And pride keeps us out of Christian service. Pride keeps us out of worship. Pride keeps us out of commitment. Pride messes up our marriages. Pride keeps a father distant from his children or a mother distant from her husband. Pride. I'm not going to say I'm sorry. Pride. That's how Satan thinks. Arrogance. It's wrong. Pride must be identified. How incredibly tragic and at the same time, listen carefully, encouraging. And the Lord said to Simon, Peter, Simon, Simon, indeed, Satan has asked for you that he may sift you as wheat. Yikes. The word sift means to shred to pieces. It means to drag a log over. That's what the word means, to drag a log over you. As wheat. That's how you get wheat. broken from the chaff. You drag a log over it. Look at verse 32. Is this not encouraging? In verse 32, immediately Peter finds out if he was thinking, if he was remembering. Look, we have hindsight. It's easy for us. In the next statement, Peter will have figured out that he's not the one betraying Jesus. How do you know that? Verse 32 says, "But I have prayed for you that your faith should not fail. And when you have returned to me, strengthen your brethren." Oh my goodness, you guys, listen. Take out your pen, because this is very cool stuff. You can get this for free. You don't have to buy a book or nothing. Simon, Simon, indeed, Satan has asked for, the word in Greek is use. Y-O-U-S. We don't talk like that. Use coming with us? Use. It means Satan has asked for each and every one of you guys by name. The word means by name. You guys, if Satan asked for those guys, each one by name, don't you think he asked God to want to beat up on each and every one of us by name? Aren't you glad Jesus is your strong tower? Amen. Think about it. The word is very, very bizarre, you guys, I have to admit. When Satan came and spoke to Jesus, when it says Satan has asked, the word asked is not the, in English we read the word asked. In the Greek, it is, he has demanded ownership because he owns you boys. Huh? Wow. He is usurping authority. He is saying, they still belong to me. And I want to sink my teeth into Andrew. I want him by name, Jesus. And I tell you what, James drives me nuts. I want to rip him from limb to limb. And I want him now. Every name Jesus heard from Satan's mouth. Can you imagine, what's your name today? Satan says, I want Mike and I want him now and I want to rip his life through my fangs and teeth until there's nothing left of him and I leave his life a heap of ruined mess. Can you imagine? Satan's asking everyone by name to Jesus. And Jesus says, no, not Andrew. Listen to this, you guys, this is freaky. Nope, not Andrew, can't have him. James, can't have James. John, can't have John. Peter, you can have. Isn't that weird? You can have him. Why? Because I personally believe, you know how Peter, his history for these last 3.5 years of Jesus' ministry has always been to take the lead, open his mouth, even when it was wrong time to talk, he talked anyway. But he also was, listen, he was also the guy who was brought into private meetings with Jesus, who saw little dead girls arise. He also saw lepers cleansed. He also was firsthand at the Mount of Transfiguration. He had been given a lot of stuff. It's very possible that he was a little bit maybe kind of pumped up about it all. It's possible that when Jesus looked at Peter and said, you know what, now here's a leader. He's a little goofy, but he has great potential. Satan, you can tear into him. Is that bad or good? Well, if Jesus is the one commanding the show, it's very good. It may hurt. But you know what Jesus was doing? Jesus was using Satan's power, who he himself wanted to inflict pain. Jesus uses Satan to perfect one of his leaders. How do you know? Because Jesus says, when you return, the word, by the way, listen, this will back up this theory. When you return, the word return means when you have stopped going down your own road. The word means when you have come to the end of your own course and you return to me. Then you take what you've learned from your journey and your experience and you strengthen your brothers. You guys, are you hearing this? Yes. You need to get this. In the difficulty, Peter was favored. Oh, not favored like super special. Favored that the Lord saw in him, number one, a little bit of arrogance popping up. That needs to be dealt with. Number two, when he gets his head back on straight, this is going to be a great guy. And to prove the point further, Peter says, I am willing to go to prison and to death with you. You guys, was he sincere? He was sincere. Did he not know what he was talking about? He did not know what he was talking about. You got to give him an A for trying. But do you hear still how much stuff is in him, of him? He's pretty impressed with himself. He could be a legend in his own mind. And the Lord says, I want to use you, but not like that. Because it would be all about you. And so, Simon, Simon, Satan has asked for you by name, and he's been demanding, by the way. And if I would have been Peter, I would have said, so I don't care. Because, I mean, you never would have let that happen, would you? I mean, you told him no, right? And then Jesus says, well, when you come through it, Peter, I want you to speak to your brothers and strengthen them. Got to get you through. You guys, if we're proud and arrogant and self-righteous, we're not going to make nothing but grief. And we'll be all alone in the end, and it's a sad life. If we now today determine, I will this day be the hands and the feet and the voice and the elbows and the knees of Jesus everywhere I go, my house, my church, my community. Oh my.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs here on Real Radio in a presentation called Pride on Parade, a presentation taken from part of Luke's New Testament narrative, chapter 22. It's all part of our teacher's verse by verse through this eyewitness account, which will continue on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Now, we've got Pastor Jack right here to tell us about something new at our own realradioactive.org. Pastor Jack?
Well, we're very excited. I'm very excited about this next offer for all of our Real Radio listeners, and that is a devotional from me to you. If you would just take a few moments to sign up, it'd be a great opportunity for you and I, as it were, to link together in spirit. It's entitled The Words to the Wise, and it's based upon Proverbs 22:17, where the scripture there says, incline your ear and hear the words of the wise and apply your heart to my knowledge. And the knowledge of the Lord is the greatest knowledge that we could have. So this collection of writings is something that has come out of my life personally. No one else wrote these things. It's from my heart to you. And just in this amazing world that we live in, you know, this radio program spans the globe. And I'm thinking of a way of how we can get together more closely, in the sense of a brother and sister in Christ. And so we just right here at Real Radio came up with this devotional idea. I love it. I hope you love it. You can simply sign up at realradioactive.org. I think you'll be encouraged by what you read and what the Lord might do in your heart, because, you know, together you and I are going through this Christian experience. We're hanging on to the Word of God, and I think the more that we share with one another about what God is doing in our lives, the more encouraging it becomes until we see the Lord face to face. So I hope you take the time to sign up. And again, this is a brand new chapter in what we offer you here at Real Radio. So God bless you, and I hope to communicate with you in this new Words to the Wise devotion.
Okay, so again, that's realradioactive.org, realradioactive.org. Our telephone number, 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of its listeners. Visit us at realradioactive.org, realradioactive.org. Till next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.